Today's a WRAL weather alert day. We have an excessive heat warning that goes into effect at 11 o'clock and a level 2 risk for severe storms. I'll show you what this means in your area.
And former President Donald Trump criminally indicted for the fourth time, this time in Georgia. 18 others, including a former North Carolina congressman, now facing charges. This morning, the former president reacting to the late night announcement. 8 o'clock on your Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ken Smith.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. It is great to have you along here as we get our Tuesday started. Heat is on already. Second day in a row. That cumulative effect is going to start to hit people. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRI Severe Weather Center with this weather alert day with that level 2 risk.
It's going to feel a lot like it did yesterday. We're going to have the potential for strong thunderstorms. We saw some severe storms pop up yesterday after lunchtime. And then, of course, we had really high heat indices. So same story again today. That level 2 risk covers the entire viewing area. We did see some strong thunderstorms overnight in the mountains, even a tornado warning around the Boone area. So the system has a history of producing some severe storms. Wind damage would be our greatest threat, but an isolated tornado wouldn't be out of the question. There will be some heavy rain with this that could cause some isolated flooding. Right now, we're looking at clear skies. That sunshine is going to help warm things up to a dangerous level for us. It's also going to help destabilize the atmosphere and bring us that chance for thunderstorms. At 2 o'clock, a few of those storms are starting to move in. By 3 o'clock, they're approaching the Triangle area, and gradually between 4 and 5 o'clock, sliding over toward the I-95 corridor, and then eventually out of the viewing area. After 8 o'clock, I think our severe weather threat will be over, but there may still be a few lingering cells here or there. Let's talk about the heat. We have an excessive heat warning here in purple, not something that we see very often. It could feel like 115 this afternoon in that area, and then the heat advisory here in orange, it could feel like 110 there. That all kicks in at as early as 11 o'clock, so it doesn't give you a lot of time to get outside and get anything done if you need to do that. 77 is our dew point. That's an unusually high dew point. Lots of moisture in the atmosphere. That makes it feel especially uncomfortable and hot. It's already 80 degrees in the Triangle area with a good bit of sunshine. We'll hit low 90s at lunchtime, 97 for the high temperature this afternoon. Behind the front that comes through today, we will get a little bit of a break in our heat and humidity, but I'll show you why it may not last for long, Brian.
We're tracking some pretty big delays, Elizabeth. Let's take a live look at our map here, and you can see the sensors indicating some of those heavy backups. Going to start off in Garner, where they're working to clear a crash from westbound 70 business at Jurgen Road. You can see those heavy delays beginning right around the Vandura Springs Road exit there, out toward Jurgen, and then it clears up as you head toward Timber and Hammond there in the distance. Need to allow some extra time heading through there. Getting reports of a crash with injuries on 87 southbound at New Hope Road as you come in from Knightdale back toward the Beltline. Right now measuring a 6-minute delay on those southbound lanes of 87. Crash getting cleared right now from Lewisburg Road out at around the Forestville Road intersection, leading to some pretty big backups coming in from Rollsville this morning. An 11-minute delay from Main Street down to 540. And then we have some heavy traffic on southbound Capitol Boulevard, US 1, coming in from Wake Forest down toward 540, about an 8-minute delay. No crashes reported there, just the congestion at some of those intersections along the way. We're going to take a look at your major approaches into Durham right now. Coming in from Chapel Hill on 40 eastbound, about a 4-minute delay right around the 54 and 751 interchange. Slows down again as you head toward Fayetteville Road. Once you get toward 885, though, traffic's flowing a little more freely. A 2-minute delay coming in from Raleigh on 40 westbound out toward 885. And 885 itself, seeing some of the usual backups right now between I-40 and the 147 split in both directions.
Brian, thanks. Well, breaking overnight, we're hearing more reaction to the latest indictment handed up against former President Donald Trump. There's a live look outside the Fulton County Courthouse in Georgia on the right side of your screen there. Late last night, the Fulton County DA, Fani Willis, announcing charges against Trump and 18 others, including former North Carolina Congressman and Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. The charges are all related to the effort to overturn the results of the 2020 election in Georgia.
After midnight, attorneys representing Trump issued a statement calling the 41-count indictment shocking and absurd. Meanwhile, Willis says Trump and the other 18 defendants have until noon on August 25th to voluntarily surrender. In addition to Trump and Meadows, other defendants include Trump's ex-lawyers John Eastman and Rudy Giuliani. Trump's facing a dozen counts in the indictment, including racketeering, soliciting a public official, making false statements, and conspiracy.
Yeah, that grand jury in Atlanta left for about 10 hours yesterday before handing up the charges. Prosecutors in Georgia have been looking into alleged schemes to overturn the 2020 presidential election results in the state. Trump lost to President Biden in the state by less than 12,000 votes. In a news conference just before midnight, the district attorney says that Georgia has laws where election results can be questioned, but Trump and his associates did not follow them.
The indictment alleges that rather than abide by Georgia's legal process for election challenges, the defendants engaged in a criminal racketeering enterprise to overturn Georgia's presidential election result.
It will be up to a judge to set a date for the trial, but Willis says her office will propose it happens in the next 6 months. Trump shared a statement from his campaign to the social media platform Truth Social, calling Willis a rabid partisan and referring to the indictment as election interference.
This is now the fourth indictment handed up against former President Trump in recent months, totaling 91 charges. In March, he was indicted in New York on charges related to hush money payments allegedly made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. In June, he was indicted in Florida on charges related to his handling of classified documents. And then last month, he was indicted in Washington, D.C. on charges related to the lead up to January 6th.
Breaking news now, after struggling to fill bus driver positions for months, Ray County Public Schools now have enough drivers to cover each route when classes start in less than 2 weeks. Let's get to WRN's Kelsey Coffey live at the bus yard this morning with an update on how the county filled these bus positions. Kelsey.
Good morning, Ken. New numbers from Wake School's officials show that all of their bus routes will be covered. I just talked to a spokesperson from the school system who says they now have 560 full-time drivers. Now, here's what that means. It means that there will be a full-time driver assigned to every route, which is much different than what we saw 2 weeks ago when about 2,000 students were going to have to be stuck without normal bus transportation at the start of the school year. They cut the number of routes to ensure every bus had a full-time driver. Now, there aren't any substitutes to cover these bus routes if a driver is out for the day based on the plan that they currently have, but they're coming up with a way to make sure that no matter what, every student can get to school, and we'll have more information on an update coming at 5:30 tonight. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
We're also following breaking news in Raleigh this morning where a person was hit by a vehicle. The crash happened in the southbound lanes of Capitol Boulevard at Calvary Drive. WRL's Laura Levine explains what she's learned about that crash.
We're talking about a very busy intersection here at the intersection of Capitol Boulevard and Calvary Drive. This all happening around 11 o'clock last night. And here at RPD headquarters, the investigation continues. Let's get you straight to some of that video where you can really see the heavy police response. A pedestrian was struck in the southbound lanes of Capitol Boulevard, just south of Calvary Drive. In this video, you can also see an RPD cruiser with hood damage. It's unclear what involvement that cruiser had in this incident. We're told the driver did stay on the scene. Since June, we have reported on three other incidents involving a person being hit overnight at the same intersection here. Drivers are asked to be mindful of any police activity that may still be going on at that area. As far as that pedestrian, that person was taken to a nearby hospital, treated for serious injuries. Laura Levine, WREO News in Raleigh.
Calls for action this morning. Over 40 dogs rescued in Wilson County.
I was shocked. The condition of the dogs was the worst I had seen dogs in that condition in probably 20 years.
And coming up, we'll hear from the woman who reported those conditions, who says she was shocked by what she saw.
And it was an Oscar-winning movie believed to be based on a true story, but now the former NFL star who inspired The Blind Side says it was all a lie. Straight ahead, the accusations being made about the Tui family.
And it is a WRL weather alert day. We have a level 2 risk for severe storms starting just after lunchtime is when we'll begin to see those cells developing, continuing through the afternoon. We also have high heat indices expected. I'll show you what the afternoon will feel like where you are.
Good morning at 8:12. You're looking live at Clinton this morning. You're looking and watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. It is a WRL weather alert day. And with that in mind, let's get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
I will start with our severe weather threat. It's a level 2 risk across our area. That means it will have scattered severe thunderstorms that could produce wind damage. We'll likely see some heavy rain that could produce some brief flooding, possibly even a tornado with this as well. We'll take a look at our weather alert day timeline, likely to be right around 2 o'clock. It wouldn't be out of the question to see it maybe an hour or so earlier than that. But it looks like after 8 o'clock, after sunset, the severe weather threat would be easing up. But there may be a few lingering showers or thunderstorms. Our wind threat, straight line winds, is going to be our biggest threat. 60 mile per hour gusts possible, but an isolated tornado is possible. Definitely lots of moisture in the atmosphere, so some flash flooding is also a possibility. This is a look at what we've seen with the system overnight last night. The beginning there, where you can see that orange shaded area, that was where there was a severe thunderstorm watch overnight across the mountains and back into Tennessee. And then there were a number of severe thunderstorm warnings and even a tornado warning that moved over the Boone area. That's actually not showing up on the loop anymore, but it's around midnight or so. And that's highly unusual to see a tornado there in our northern mountains. Our cold front slides eastward. You can see a little bit of lingering rain there starting to approach the Triad area. So it looks like maybe that would hold together for a quick sprinkle in our northern counties. But future cast not showing much of that. It shows a good bit of sunshine, allowing our temperatures to really warm up a good bit. And then as we get into 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, that line of thunderstorms takes shape and again could produce some wind damage, some very heavy rain with this, maybe an isolated tornado. At 5 o'clock, it's moving along the I-95 corridor. And then once we get past 8 o'clock, it looks like the severe threat is over. Maybe a few isolated showers lingering. Here's a look at our flooding risk. It is a medium risk here, mainly along the I-95 corridor. And that's where we'd have the best chance of seeing some flooding potential. We take a live look at our cameras across the area. Chapel Hill looking pretty this morning from Top of the Hill Restaurant with a good bit of sunshine. We're seeing some high thin cloud cover out there in some places. Fayetteville showing up with some dappled sunshine there on the sidewalk. Definitely going to be a hot day. We already have lots of moisture in the atmosphere. Really high dew point, which will bring us that excessive heat warning this afternoon. Purple shaded area, it'll feel like 115, and the heat advisory, it'll feel more like 110. So 97 in Raleigh today, feeling like 110, feeling like 107 in Durham, feeling like 115 in Fayetteville. That 100 degrees in Fayetteville would tie the previous record. Here's how it will feel as we get through the afternoon. At lunchtime, 106 in the Triangle, 110 at 4 o'clock, and by 6 o'clock, still feeling potentially like 100, but we will see some cool down once those storms begin. Speaking of storms in the tropics, one wave coming off the coast of Africa has a 20% chance of developing, and another one that's still sitting on land in Africa that may move westward with a 30% chance of developing. So we'll watch that in the next week or so. WRL weather alert day for heat and storms today, but a quieter day behind the front tomorrow. We'll see a high of 88. We don't get much of a break. We're back into the mid-90s by Sunday and Monday, Brian.
It is 8:15 right now. Busy morning out there. Going to start off on the east side of Raleigh, where we have a crash on 87 southbound right around New Hope Road. Very heavy delays this morning begin around Hodge Road all the way out to that New Hope Road interchange. Right now, we're measuring a 35-minute backup. Consider using 64 Business or New Bern Avenue as a good alternate route to get to 440 this morning. That should save you quite a bit of time. Some other problems that we are watching right now around Wake County in Raleigh. We have a crash downtown on McDowell Street near South Street. That's creating some pretty heavy delays. Beginning right around that western MLK interchange up toward the Raleigh Convention Center, then it clears up as you head into downtown. Over in Holly Springs, watch for a crash with injuries out on Sunset Lake Road near Main Street. There's a little bit of a delay showing up on that westbound side of Sunset Lake heading back toward the Main Street intersection. Take a look at your major approaches into Raleigh right now. About a 1 minute delay on that northbound side of US 1 leaving Apex heading through Cary. A 7 minute slowdown showing up right now on southbound Capitol Boulevard from Wake Forest down toward the 540 interchange. Also watching some slow traffic building on 40 eastbound, leaving Chapel Hill, heading into Durham. A couple of slowdowns, one around 751, another around the Fayetteville Road interchange, altogether adding about 5 minutes to your ride out toward 885.
Thanks, Brian. We are following breaking news this morning out of Warrenton. Warrenton police say they are working to figure out how a child was cut several times. Officers say they responded last night to the area of Bragg Street and Macon Street. Investigators say that boy was taken to a trauma center with a cut on his wrist, neck, and stomach. As of right now, police have not released the boy's name.
We're working to learn the name of the man who was shot and killed by Wayne County deputies. Investigators say the incident began when they received a call about a suspicious man with a weapon. Deputies say the man raised a shotgun at them while they were giving verbal commands. It happened just after 3 yesterday afternoon in Caps Bridge Road in Princeton. WRL spoke with a woman who says the home belongs to her mother, but says the man who was shot by deputies did not live there and is not connected to the family. The sheriff's office has not said how many deputies were involved. We do know they've been placed on administrative leave.
Bond has been raised to $1 million for the man accused of kidnapping a woman from Crabtree Valley Mall and stealing her SUV. 41-year-old Christopher Joyner appeared in court yesterday. Federal prosecutors said they had a federal warrant for his arrest. Joyner is accused of escaping a halfway house while on post-release for other convictions. Raleigh police say on Friday, Joyner forced a woman into his own car and held her hostage. She was able to escape near NC State and called 911. Police say the woman did not know Joyner. He has previous convictions for kidnapping, robbery, and assault on a police officer.
Animal activists are calling for action after more than 40 dogs were recovered from a Wilson County home. Now, we want to warn you, these photos might be a little difficult for some people. In a previous statement, the sheriff's office said the dog's owner died, leaving his wife to care for them. Deputies didn't press charges, but rather instead educated the woman. Well, the volunteers who helped get the dogs to safety say the sheriff's office and animal control should have removed the dogs sooner. The woman who made the initial complaint says she was shocked to see the deplorable conditions of the dogs.
This is a horrible situation of neglect and abuse with these dogs, and there was no reason to leave these dogs behind or at least not even help a rescue.
Well, WRL asked the sheriff's office for an interview, but we didn't hear back. The dogs have been relocated to various rescues as far away as New York so they can be rehabbed before finding forever homes.
The start of the traditional school year is nearly here, so the State Department of Health and Human Services is reminding parents of two things. Uninsured children can get their vaccines through the Vaccines for Children program. Plus, there's a new RSV shot to protect infants under the age of 8 months. Information on both are available on the system's website.
Research shows nearly 29 million Americans will experience an eating disorder in their lifetime. College students can be especially vulnerable, as some may be planning their own meals for the first time and also trying to fit in with peers. A recent study found the chance of college students developing an eating disorder went up 13% from 2013 to 2021. Experts say there are ways parents can help protect their children, including being a good role model, watching for red flags, and talking to them.
About what they're eating, you know, how their energy level is, what they're doing to help improve their health and nutrition. I think those are the conversations we need to have as parents, just to ensure that we're keeping the lines of communication open.
Well, Dr. Dorr says signs a child may be struggling with an eating disorder may include headaches, dizziness, lack of energy, and difficulty sleeping.
A huge mulch fire in Houston could keep burning for a week. Houston Fire Department says the fire is under control, but it is still burning. Crews are staying on the scene to monitor it. The Houston Health Department says the air quality is not at an alarming level right now. Former NFL star whose real life story inspired the Oscar-winning movie The Blind Side says it was all a lie. A new lawsuit from Michael Orr claims the Tuohy family exploited him for their own benefit. And now he wants to cut all legal ties with them. The movie tells the story of the future NFL star's adoption by a wealthy Memphis family. However, Orr now says he was never legally adopted. He says the couple tricked him in 2004 to sign a document that gave Sean and Leanne Tuohy full legal control over any of his contracts, but no familial relationship. Orr says he didn't discover this until 6 months ago.
Well, conservatorship is very different from an adoption. A conservatorship does not create a family relationship. It creates a legal responsibility.
And with that power, the petition alleges the Tuohys negotiated a movie deal for The Blind Side in 2006. Orr claims that the family made millions in royalties while he never received anything for payment. The Tuohys have not responded.
Well, some of North Carolina's top chefs and mixologists went head-to-head in a competition last night. The North Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association Chef Showdown happened at the Angus Barn Pavilion. 19 chefs and 6 mixologists competed. The Chef of the Year went to Ade Carena of Donna Cuisine in Raleigh. Ade, as well as the Pastry Chef of the Year, the top mixologist, will appear at 9 a.m. right here on Fox 50. We're looking forward to that. Well, this week we'll get another look at the Carolina Panthers' new starting quarterback, Bryce Young. The team's second preseason game is this Friday. The Panthers will get a shot at redemption against the New York Football Giants. You can watch that game Friday at 7 on WRAL.
NC State Fair is less than 2 months away. You can go ahead and grab a ticket starting today. This year's fair is October 12th through the 22nd. This is video from last year. Advance sales for tickets, wristbands, rides, ride tickets, they all go on sale today. You can get them through October 12th. Adults, $10. Kids ages 6 to 12, just $5. And those unlimited ride wristbands are $30 each. Tickets can be purchased on the State Fair website.
Favorite time of the year. Love it. Well, 8:23 now, still ahead. A teenager now out of the hospital after falling nearly 100 feet into the Grand Canyon. Why the 14-year-old says he fell and how many people it took to get him to safety.
Plus, fourth indictment handed down to former President Donald Trump late last night. He is now reacting on the next steps for Trump and the 18 others indicted.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning at 8:26. I'm Ken Smith. It's a WRAL Weather Alert Day. Extreme heat this morning. Possibility of severe weather later on. Let's get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Garney, the WRAL Severe Weather Center.
A lot to talk about today. We have an excessive heat warning from Raleigh eastward. This is where it could feel like up to 115 this afternoon. And here where the heat advisory is in orange, it could feel like up to 110. And all that kicks off at about 11 a.m. and lasts until 7 p.m. or until the thunderstorms roll through and start to cool things off a little bit. So those are unusual numbers for us. So I hope everybody will take it seriously. We do have a level 2 risk for severe storms. Wind damage will be our biggest threat, but there could be an isolated tornado. There could also be some very heavy rain that creates some flooding. A little bit of cloud cover out there right now. We'll see the heat to start with, and then the thunderstorms begin after lunchtime. Brian?
Breaking news right now in Knightdale on 87 southbound. We have a crash right around the New Hope Road interchange. And you can see some heavy delays here all the way back at the Neuse River Bridge. These backups begin now between 540 and Hodge Road, a 40-minute delay on those southbound lanes of I-87 coming in from Knightdale back toward 440. I just checked for alternate routes for you, and the best option is going to be using 64 Business or New Bern Avenue to get to 440 this morning. That's going to save you at least 10 minutes.
A person seriously hurt after being hit by a Raleigh police cruiser on Capitol Boulevard. This is video from the scene around 11 last night, just south of Calvary Drive in Raleigh. You can see in this video damage to that police cruiser there in Raleigh. Well, next on Fox 50, new information on relief supplies being sent from North Carolina to Hawaii. And up next on Today, what passes for cell phone etiquette and what doesn't.
Today is a WRAL Weather Alert Day. We have an excessive heat warning for parts of the viewing area, along with a level 2 risk. I'll show you the timeline for each of those and what it will feel like where you are.
And breaking news in Knightdale, I'm tracking huge delays on I-87 southbound. I'll show you the alternate route that'll save you about 10 minutes.
We look at the facts, we look at the law, and we bring charges.
Former President Trump facing another indictment. New charges brought against him and 18 others in Georgia over the aftermath of the 2020 election.
Wake County schools will now have a bus driver for every route. Coming up, I'll tell you how the school district is ensuring that no child goes without a ride.
8:30 the time right now as we bring you inside our WRL studio. So glad you're making us part of your routine. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Ken Smith. We have two routines today. Extreme heat this morning, possible severe weather later on. Let's get back to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WR Severe Weather Center, tracking it all for us.
Yeah, let's start with the severe weather threat. It's a level 2 risk for the entire viewing area for the most part. That means that wind damage would be likely. That's going to be our biggest threat. An isolated tornado, not out of the question. And there's lots of moisture in the atmosphere, so enough for some heavy rain that could produce some flooding. Let's talk about when that begins. Futurecast is showing clear skies right now, but we do have some cloud cover out there. That may slow our heating down just a little bit. That also could, if it does slow down our heating, limit the severity of the thunderstorms. But there is some sunshine out there, and as long as we continue to see that, we're likely to see these storms. Now, this is the brand new run of the computer model coming in. It's a little slower than the run that we showed you just about 10 minutes or so ago. It brings those cells in instead of around 2 o'clock, closer to 4 o'clock. You can see that line of storms moving through the triangle area around 5 o'clock, and then 6 o'clock along the I-95 corridor, 7, 8 o'clock still starting to push out. So just maybe an hour later at the start on this latest run of the computer model, a few lingering showers are possible. We take a look at our heat issues, an excessive heat warning for Raleigh eastward. This is where it could feel like 115 or hotter. And then the heat advisory there in orange, it'll feel like 110 or hotter there. All this goes into effect at 11 a.m. It's already pretty hot out there. 80 degrees currently in the triangle. Our dew point's at 77. That's an unusually high dew point. We have an unusually moist air mass with us right now. Our temperature climbs into the 90s by lunchtime. We'll see a high of 97 officially in the triangle area, but we can end up tying or breaking a record down in Fayetteville. I'll show you what that number looks like coming up, Brian.
Following breaking news right now, Elizabeth, in Knightdale, we have a crash on 87 southbound right around the New Hope Road area as you head into East Raleigh. We're seeing some huge delays right now on those southbound lanes. This is a still image from the camera there at the Neuse River Bridge, and you can see that the backups there on the southbound side of 87. A 47-minute delay showing up right now on sensors. I haven't seen any confirmation from DOT that they have closed 87 southbound, but certainly we are seeing big backups that now begin all the way back around the Bethlehem Road Bridge. From there through 540 Hodge Road out to New Hope Road, traffic is solidly backed up. Best alternate route to get around all this is going to be using 64 Business. Knightdale Boulevard turns into Newbern Avenue there at 540, and take that to get back to the Beltline. That should save you about 10 minutes this morning, according to the latest sensor updates. I will let you know what's going on with that situation as we get new data in from those sensors. Taking a look around the rest of the triangle, a little bit of a slowdown perhaps on 40 westbound right around the airport exits this morning. The usual delays also on 885 between I-40 and the 147 split. We're also still seeing some lingering delays there in Durham on 40 eastbound right around Fayetteville Road.
Brian, thanks. So breaking overnight, we're hearing more reaction to the latest indictment handed up against former President Donald Trump. There's a live look outside the Fulton County Courthouse in Georgia. Late last night, the Fulton County DA, Fannie Willis, announcing charges against Trump and 18 others, including former North Carolina congressman and Trump chief of staff Mark Meadows. The charges are all related to the effort to overturn the results of the 2020 election in Georgia.
A lot happening after midnight. Attorneys representing Trump issued a statement calling the 41-count indictment shocking and absurd. Meanwhile, Willis says Trump and the other 18 defendants have until noon August 25th to voluntarily surrender. In addition to Trump and Meadows, other defendants include Trump's ex-lawyers John Eastman and Rudy Giuliani. So that's a dozen counts for Trump in the indictment, including racketeering, soliciting a public official, making false statements, conspiracy.
Yeah, and the list continues, right? Yeah. The grand jury in Atlanta met for about 10 hours yesterday before handing up that charges. Prosecutors in Georgia have been looking into an alleged scheme to overturn the 2020 election results in that state. Trump lost to President Biden in that state by less than 12,000 votes. In the news conference just before midnight, the district attorney says Georgia has laws in which election results can be questioned, but Trump and his associates did not follow them.
The indictment alleges that rather than abide by Georgia's legal process for election challenges, the defendants engaged in a criminal racketeering enterprise to overturn Georgia's presidential election result.
Now, it will be up to a judge to set a date for the trial, but Willis says her office will propose it happens in the next 6 months. Trump shared a statement from his campaign to the social media platform Truth Social, calling Willis a rabid partisan and referring to the indictment as election interference.
This is now the fourth indictment against former President Trump in recent months, totaling 91 charges. In March, he was indicted in New York on charges related to alleged hush money payments made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. In June, he was indicted in Florida on charges related to his handling of classified documents. And last month, he was indicted in Washington, D.C. on charges related to the lead up to January 6th.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have an update to a story we've been following all morning long, that crash on Capitol Boulevard near Calvary Drive. We have just confirmed that a Raleigh police officer operating a marked patrol car was involved in this crash. They say the incident does remain under investigation, but the person was hit by that vehicle just before 11 o'clock last night. This is video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker showing that Raleigh Police Department cruiser on the scene with damage to its hood. The identity of the pedestrian has not been released. We do know they were taken to a nearby hospital to be treated for serious injuries.
Thanks, Michelle, for that update. We have more breaking news we've been following this morning. After struggling to fill bus driver positions for months, Wake County Public Schools will now have enough drivers to cover each route when classes start in less than 2 weeks. WRL's Kelsey Coffey tells us about the update we were expecting and how the county filled those positions.
New numbers from Wake School's officials show that all bus routes will be covered. Now, I just spoke with the spokesperson for the school system. She says that they're going to have 560 full-time drivers. That means there will be a full-time driver assigned to every route. This is much different than 2 weeks ago, when about 2,000 students were going to be stuck without normal bus transportation at the start of the school year. They had to cut the number of routes to ensure every bus had a full-time driver. Now, under this current plan, they don't have any substitute drivers to replace a full-time driver if they had to take the day off, but they do plan to work with whoever they have in order to make sure that every student can get to school on time. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
Well, a cargo plane from North Carolina-based Samaritan's Purse took off for Hawaii from Greensboro's International Airport a couple of hours ago. It's carrying 17 tons of relief supplies for the areas devastated by those wildfires. The nonprofit is sending supplies including hygiene kits, solar lights, cooking kits, and equipment for volunteers to help families as they search through the ashes. Samaritan's Purse already has volunteer teams in Hawaii helping people devastated by those fires. It also has chaplains on the ground providing support and comfort.
Today, we'll learn more about possible solutions for the lead that was found in some Durham parks. City of Durham closed the Northgate Park playground Friday because of high lead levels in the soil. It also found unsafe lead levels at Lyon, Walltown, and East End parks. Parts of these parks are now fenced off. The report comes out today after lab analysis and will provide short and long-term solutions as well. Those could include removing and filling all contaminated soil with clean soil.
We're coming up on 8:40 now. Among the many people going to Maui to help with wildfire recovery, mental health crisis expert. How the council's plan to help not only people who have lost everything, but also first responders.
And organizers called a historic announcement. What we know about a $300 million renovation project to PNC Arena expected to be officially announced today.
And heading to break, we want to give you a live look now at Fayetteville. Today's a WREL Weather Alert Day. We'll check back in with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner on when we could see severe storms in the area, as well as this extreme heat we're experiencing.
Hey, 8:43 is the time right now on your Tuesday morning. Good morning, Andrew. This is a live look from our WRL Live Cam Network. You see some clouds up there in the sky. Just holding in the heat because it is here. WRL Weather Alert Day. Excessive heat on the way. If it's not here yet, some people, Elizabeth, believe it's already here.
Yeah, it's 80 degrees with a dew point of 77. I feel like it's excessive already for 845. All that heat and humidity will help for the potential for some thunderstorms this afternoon. Some of those could reach severe criteria, which would be 60 mile per hour gusts or higher. An isolated tornado not out of the question, and lots of rain that could produce some flooding. Now, Futurecast is showing clear skies for us right now, but we've had some cloud cover roll in this morning. That may slow our warming a little bit. That could decrease our chances for severe storms this afternoon, and it might keep us from reaching a heat index of around 115. But I would still expect us to be at least at 110 across most of the viewing area. This is a new run of the computer models compared to what we saw a little bit earlier. It's about an hour later. At 3 o'clock, the thunderstorms are approaching, and at 4 to 5 o'clock, they're moving across some of our western counties and through the middle of the viewing area. Definitely some of these cells are going to have enough moisture to produce some isolated flooding, possibly some wind damage. There was even a tornado warning across Boone overnight last night, so couldn't rule out an isolated tornado with this. Of course, it starts to slide eastward between 8 and 9 o'clock. Maybe some lingering showers behind that, but the severe threat should be over by then. We have an excessive heat warning in effect from the Triangle area, or at least from Raleigh eastward. Yesterday at RDU, it felt like 113, and so that's why we have the excessive heat warning. Could easily see temperatures that warm or warmer. Heat advisory in the orange, it'll feel like 105 to 110 there. We don't see excessive heat warnings around here very often. Taking a look at the last 15 years, we've only seen one per year on average. And advisories, we average about 7 per year. So we don't often, it's not every day that we see this intense heat. And so you really do need to take it seriously. Take a look at this deck of low clouds that started to develop here. You can see down right here in eastern Wake County, you can see the ground there, but starting to see more of that. It's just a little deck of low cloud cover. I think that as the sun comes up, that it will start to dissipate those clouds a bit, but it may take another couple of hours. 80 degrees with a dew point of 77. That is really soupy. We're in the 90s by lunchtime, and we'll see a high of 97. 77 is our dew point. That's an unusually high dew point for us even in August. We'll see 97 in Raleigh, 94 in Durham, and 100 in Fayetteville. That 100 in Fayetteville would tie the previous record in 1935. The previous record high today in at RDU is 99, and we may be just a couple of degrees from that. So near record highs out there. And of course, extreme heat feeling like 108, 109, 110 through the afternoon before the thunderstorms get fired up. A little break tomorrow. We'll see a high of 88, but feeling like 93. It's still going to feel like mid-90s Thursday and Friday and potentially low 90s for the weekend. We don't have a real break coming our way all the way through the end of August, at least through the 28th. Almost the entire country looks like we have a good chance of above normal temperatures. Hopefully we'll get a break in September. You know, it's only a couple of weeks away. Once we get past today, maybe an isolated storm tomorrow. It looks fairly dry through the rest of the week. Brian?
Still tracking some delays, big delays on 87 southbound, leaving Knightdale, heading back toward the east side of Raleigh. This is the live camera out at 87 at Hodge Road. You see the heavy backups there. The delays begin before you get to the Bethlehem Road Bridge, and we're talking about an almost hour-long backup right now on 87 southbound because of a crash right around New Hope Road. Two left lanes are blocked. That's some new information we're getting from DOT. As soon as you get through New Hope Road, traffic is moving along well as you head out toward 440. So if you can pick it up from there, you should be in pretty good shape. Otherwise, consider using New Bern Avenue as a good alternate route to get back to 440. A lot of people are doing that, and we are seeing some heavy delays right now as you head away from 540 on the westbound side of New Bern Avenue heading out toward Rogers Lane. So give yourself plenty of extra time leaving Knightdale heading back toward Raleigh. I want to tell you about another road that's closed right now because of a vehicle crash. This is over on the west side of Lee County, west of Sanford. Highway 42 right around Woolard Road, not too far from the Deep River Bridge in the Carbonton area. Expect a detour in that area.
Brian, thanks. Mental health crisis counselors are heading to Hawaii to help people experiencing trauma because of those wildfires. Experts say they're going to help people who have lost their homes and their loved ones, as well as first responders who are having trouble coping with the situation. Crisis counselor Dana Lucio says she believes therapy can help relieve suffering.
This is not something that their brains were prepared to understand. So it's definitely going to need a lot of support with the mental health side.
99 people are confirmed dead as a result of those wildfires. More than 1,000 people are still unaccounted for this morning.
Also, at least three people are dead following an explosion near the Dominican Republic capital on Monday. It happened at a bakery in the city of San Cristobal. Thick black smoke could be seen rising from the city center and enveloped several blocks. Now, the explosion charred cars and scattered debris from several collapsed buildings. The cause of the blast is under investigation.
Harnett County Fire Department says wrong chemicals are to blame for three small explosions at a pool. They say it happened just before 4 yesterday afternoon. Fire, EMS, and hazmat crews were on the scene at County Club Drive in Buies Creek. We're told no one was hurt.
Raleigh police are working to track down a shooter who left a person hurt near the Roses Discount Store in Raleigh. The shooting happened just before 3 yesterday on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard near Rock Quarry Road. Police say first responders rushed that person to the hospital in serious condition. As part of the shooting investigation, officers were on the scene near Ligon Middle School, which was not in session at the time, but the school was placed on code yellow lockdown as a precaution. Investigators say the shooter and the person who was shot knew each other.
The Carolina Hurricanes, NC State, and PNC Arena says today will be historic. They expect it to announce a long-term extension for the Canes, a development project around PNC Arena, and a $300 million renovation to the arena. The money is coming from the Raleigh and Wake County hospitality taxes. Formal votes by the Centennial Authority, which owns PNC Arena, and the Raleigh City Council are planned this morning. The Wake County Commission will also have to vote next week. You can watch that announcement this morning around 9 o'clock live on WRL.com or the WRL News app. Well, starting today, you can now walk around with your alcoholic beverages in a larger area of downtown Raleigh. Sip and Stroll Downtown allows people to drink beer and wine and cocktails as they walk through a defined area of downtown Raleigh. It began in August of last year. Now, in May, the City Council voted to expand the boundaries to include more of the Warehouse District and portions of the Capitol District up to Hillsborough Street. Sip and Stroll will also start an hour earlier with operating hours from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week.
And tonight, Rollsville's Board of Commissioners will review the final site plan for a new town center there. The center would include a police station, fire station, library, and a new town hall. If you take a look at these new renderings, it shows you what the campus would look like. It would go right off East Young Street. The project could cost about $65 million. A final vote could come later this year, and construction wouldn't start until 2025. Parents in Warren County, be sure your child has the correct backpack for the start of the new school year. The district says it is providing clear backpacks for free. The move is part of a new safety measure, and clear backpacks are required on all campuses. If you don't want to use the bag provided by the school, you can purchase your own. Just make sure it's clear.
In entertainment news, a streaming series takes on a sports scandal and a fresh look at a classic film rights a historic wrong. Here's David Daniel with the Hollywood Minute.
It is the biggest doping scandal in sports history,
including Barry Bonds.
We determined what to take, when to take it. It was all based on circumventing the testing.
Hall of Shame is the latest chapter in the Netflix sports documentary series Untold, debuting today. Series creators Chapman and McLean Way say they'd been looking for the right way to tackle steroid use in sports.
Eventually, it was one of our producers who started talking to me. I remember Balco, but started talking to me more specifically about Victor Conti and being the basis of Tower of Power. And I was like, okay, this sounds very interesting and fascinating. Let's go start having conversations with Victor. And then him just turning over documents and telling a story.
Show me somebody not on steroids, and I'll show you the loser.
I could do some of the things I've always wanted to.
Audrey Hepburn won the Best Actress Oscar for 1953's Roman Holiday. It also won for costume design and best writing. But the original screenwriter, Dalton Trumbo, was blacklisted at the time, caught up in widespread anti-communist fears in America. And it took decades before he was recognized posthumously with an Oscar statuette. Now the classic romance has been restored for a 70th anniversary 4K Ultra HD release. And for the first time, Trumbo receives both screenplay and story credit. Like the film, a bittersweet happy ending. In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
Well, the restored Roman Holiday with Trumbo's credits is now on sale now.
Well, thanks to new research at NC State, man's best friend could live longer. Dr. Natasha Olby's leading this team. Her research began in 2018. It's now in the late stages of the first clinical trial. Olby is looking at whether or not certain supplements can slow the aging process in animals. And the goal is to keep a dog's mind sharp and maintain its senses and mobility. 70 dogs are in this study. One group received the supplement, the other received a placebo. It wraps up in December. If you have a favorite way to relax, today might be the perfect way to do it. It is August 15th, National Relaxation Day. The annual date is set aside to focus on yourself. Turns out, National Relaxation Day was not the brainchild of an adult, but someone much younger. The idea of the day is credited to fourth grader Sean Moeller in 1985. Moeller told an interviewer that people shouldn't do anything of real value on this day. I love the initiative. Before we head to break, we have winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.